Let's pray and get started. Father, this morning I pray we'd all be all in, and you would be the all in all in us. Lord, you'd accomplish things in the earth that you set to accomplish with these crazy broken vessels. Lord, you can use a donkey, Lord God, so we submit ourselves to be used because we've been donkeys. Lord, use us again in the earth to accomplish your purpose and your purpose alone, your way alone, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've been in the middle of a series. I don't know if you guys, I didn't look at my notes this morning. It's always dangerous, Jeff. I don't know. When I was a kid growing up, TV series was like a part of life. You know, my first favorite TV series was Gilligan's Island. Yeah, I couldn't understand for the life of me, why are you trying to get off this, bro? Just make a move on Marianne and get on with it, you know? Gilligan, come on. But no, you know, the whole thing was, let's get off the island. It's not that great off the island, sir. You know, and then Happy Days. I grew up with Happy Days. The Fonz was, you know, part of the regular yay when you're a kid. You know, and so Deep Roots has been one of those series that we've been having a new season. It's a way for me to trick you into reading the Old Testament with me. If you figure that out at all, but that's really all it is we're going through the Old Testament from time to time. Stuff you may never want to read at home, but we do it here on a Sunday. It's just a trick. So Deep Roots is a trick. Last week, we did chapter 17 of Exodus. I almost skipped chapter 18. I almost skipped it and had you read it for yourself. Panda says I'm too soft on you. She says, you're too soft, Pastor. So I'll just give it to him, you know. But so far in this season of Deep Roots, does anyone remember any of the lessons that we've learned or that they have learned? I'm sorry, not us. They have learned along the way. Anybody? Like, Pastor, I didn't until you asked me that. Don't look at me. You know, I'll help you. How about trust and provision belong to God? They learn trust and provision, right? Even like, how's it going to happen now? Oh, some kind of wafer stuff in the morning? Collected on this day, that day, not the other day? Okay, what are we going to do about water? We're fussy about stuff. And then God shows up, right? Have you ever had that as your walk with God? Where, like, you're learning to grow and trust him, and you're like, God, what are you going to do about this? And then he does it. And you're like, oh, thank you, God. I'll never forget that. And then, like, maybe half an hour later, you're fussing about something else. Just me and you, Jeff, and Danette. All right, front rowers. The rest of you guys are awesome. But sometimes that's how we are, you know. We get a little fussy. We got to trust him for our provision again when we thought we never would. I was praying so hard when Hannah was in labor for, seemed like, 400 hours. You know, Noah was on his way, like, come on. Trusting you, God. And there was like this moment where I was like, God, what's going on? You know, ever have the moment? You had a lot of faith and it just looked like 30 seconds of what's going on. You know, anybody else? Okay, thank you. We learned to trust his ways, and his ways are not Egypt's ways. And he's trying to get them out of Egypt and Egypt out of them. Right? That's kind of a parallel for our life. We learned that stuff in our past, if we're not careful and we don't let God completely deal with it, we'll creep up and get you. Like, I dealt with that. I was delivered from that. And then it crept up and bit you again. Yeah, we can relate to they, can't we? No, children of Israel, we can relate to it. So let's see. Let's start again. Just, I'm going to backtrack to Exodus 17, 14 through 16. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, write this in the book as a memorial. Write this in the book as a memorial and recite it to Joshua. Remember, they're really good about stuff like that. Making up songs, right? Hit records. How to remember stuff. You know, you'd be surprised the number of you people that sang American Pie that week. I was shocked. You guys want to keep going. You know, the lighters started going up. I said, this is not that kind of show. Settle down, you know. And recite it to Joshua. He said, write it and recite it. Say, write it and recite it. Yeah. And that I will utterly wipe out. Oh, talk about a tough day. Sometimes promises are delivered and they're not good promises. Like, you keep this up, right? You keep this up. Ever do that with your kids? One more time, one more time. One more. I'm being it this time, maybe one more time. All right, I'm going to get your father. Right? Yeah, and the father eventually comes to the room and goes, that was the last time. And then sadness happens, you know. Repentance often happens. And if they're real good, a treat, you know. Stop. It says, I will utterly wipe out the memory of Amalek and his people from under heaven. And Moses built an altar. Say, Moses built an altar. And he named it, the Lord is my banner, right? The Lord has sworn an oath and he's going to do this thing. And Moses was really good about that stuff. He liked to write and recite stuff, to remember stuff. The older I get, I wear these bracelets to remind me of things, you know? God said it, and I need to remember it. So here's some lessons that I know you guys probably remembered in this little recap before we get to 18. I just didn't want us to forget. Well, me to forget. You probably remember them. Right? Here's one. God said, write it and recite it. Trust God. He's as the only Lord. They had to learn that, right? Because they came out of Egypt where there's lots of gods praying for their attention, right? All sorts of gods. They popped up not on their televisions like ours do, but they pop up other places, right? God's everywhere. They're vying for the attention. They had to learn that there's only one God. There's only one God. They had to learn another lesson. Maybe. All right, there it is. Don't complain. Don't complain. Don't complain. How many of us, don't raise your hand, think real hard, how many of us have still learned that lesson? Ah! How many are still learning don't complain lesson? Come on. I hear you on the 60 on your way to work. Don't tell me. I hear you. I live about 2 miles off the 60, but I hear it. Don't tell me. There's lessons that we just say we learn, but how about don't complain and be a support to his plan? Ever get a place where you didn't really care about what his plan was so much you didn't really like it? Ever know that God sent you to do something you're like, I don't like that plan?
Just me and Shaunzi.
Yeah, just I don't like that plan. You got another plan? I like a different plan than that plan. This is the plan. Are you sure? I think I'll fast and pray. Y'all don't have to. It's the plan. All right. Don't complain and be a support to his plan. Third one. When world culture collides with God, choose to follow God. Uh-oh. When world culture, occasionally it happens. I don't know if you notice, our culture is very similar. They don't always line up with God. Does it? And when we see world culture clash with the principles of God, we're not supposed to go, well, you know what? The Kardashians are pretty smart. No! Nope. When it collides with God, as disciples, those who have died, their baptism, we died to ourselves to follow him. Even if we think that would be cool, if God would do it like that, I could get down with that. But God said, no. So whenever God says, that's not how I do it, we have to side with God. Say, oh, them. Oh, them. How about the next one? Say, stages happen, right? Sometimes we work and say little bitty baby steps, you know, through sometimes big old steps in our life, right? Sometimes I feel pushed off the step. And the last one I have for now is my slides. We now completely identify with him because he is our banner. What we used to identify with, or what culture says identifies as something, is insignificant to the children of God. We get one identification, it's him. Well, how does God feel about something? Yes, he gave us the Bible, go check it out. There's all sorts of stuff deep. I just cover surface stuff here, but there's stuff that I don't read out. Y'all dig into it, go, what does God say about that? I guarantee God says something about it. And when it collides with your culture, choose God. That's not a popular message today. No, identity is a thing. And I'm telling you, yeah, identify with God. And that's not always comfortable. Trust me. I lost a lot of friends when I first got saved. I lost a lot of friends. Friends from kindergarten through college. Right? Lost them. Why? Because what's up with this God thing? So I can't do what I used to do. You were the biggest maniac of all of us. I know. It's shocking. I can't believe I'm alive. Us either. We all lost money on bets. But we can't hang out with you anymore because you're always like about what God says. You're not fun anymore. I'm fun. Say deep roots. Deep roots, this is the episode that is the stage before the mountain of God. Exodus 18, 1 through 4. Now Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law. Now some places respect titles a lot. In the South Pacific, chiefs of villages are important. And there's chiefs of chiefs and there's titles. And so back in the day when I was young, you respected your father-in-law. You respected your mother-in-law. You respected your mother and father. You didn't know so much how to honor them sometimes because they weren't the greatest people, but there was a sense of respect. Maybe, I don't know, I grew up Irish, Italian, Catholic. Respect was taught in my home. And I looked at this, because you're going to see over and over again, it's important to show respect, but here's the thing. Be respectable so God can trust you with the title of respect. Because titles can mean nothing. There's a lot of people that had titles I had no respect for. And there's people I respected so much, I gave them a title. Right? And that's how we're supposed to be. And I want us to see something through Moses' eyes this week, if we could. Now, Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and the Israel, his people, and that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. No, I'm not going to have you look at each other and say that. I'm going to scrub that from my notes. I should have looked at that. How about we just look at ourselves for a second? Close your eyes. Ready? Say this to yourself. There comes a time when it's finally time to get out of Egypt. There comes a time. There just comes a time. There comes a time where you're just like, well, I'm going to get out. I'm going to. There comes a time you got to decide, am I getting out today or not? I can choose slavery and going back to the way things used to be. Or I can go, I'm getting out of Egypt today. There's some baptism people going, I'm getting out of Egypt today. Today I'm stepping out of Egypt. I'll make a mark and say I'm done with Egypt. It's exciting for me. The Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Moses' wife Zipporah, because he had her sent away from Egypt, along with her two sons, of whom one was named Gershom, which means stranger. For Moses said, I've been a stranger in a foreign land. Hold up. You know, Moses needs so much reminders, he names his kids stuff. Remember, he names a place, this rock will be called, this lake will be called Bitterness, Meribah. My son will be called Gershom. Why? Because I was a stranger in a strange land. I never want to forget that I was an outcast and God made me an incast. Every time I see that boy, I go, God did that. Every time I say his name, I remind myself. Naming's important. It was named Gershom. Moses said, I've been a stranger in a strange land. It's good to be reminded of God's words and his actions, you know. The other son was named Eleazar. My God is help. My God is help. For Moses said, the God of my father was my help and rescued me from the sword of Pharaoh. I need reminders. I wear them on my body. Mostly the reminders to be nice. You'd be shocked. Upstate New Yorkers can be grumpy. And I have to dial it back a bit. I'm shopping. I'm not there to make friends. I just want to get that bread and get out that door as quick as possible. Right? Ken, you see me shop, Ken. He's like that. I've seen him. We have to remind ourselves of things that are important. And his kids were named things that were important to him. So what's the very important things we know about so far of God in this season of deep roots? Say number one, say respect. God is big about respect. It's woven all the way through. From Genesis to Revelations, he's big on respect. And it's really hard because I believe this, I teach it, and it's in the Word, and we've done it in deep roots other seasons, that he also wants to be our friend. Remember Abraham? I call him my friend. I meet with Moses. I'd like to speak to you directly, right? But how many have had a friend in your life you got so familiar with you took him for granted? How many got married? And you forget sometimes you take somebody good for granted. Go ahead and raise your hands. They need to see it. Don't hide that. That's accountability. It happens, right? So we got to have this balance of God wants to be close and connected to us, but don't get so familiar with him because he's still God. And the Amalekites are going to be wiped out forever. Like, there are things God does, and he says at one point in time, enough's enough. You don't want to be on that side of the equation. I just don't. So we learn the respect is big for God, respect his ways, and respect his guy. Say respect. Respect his people. Right? So let's learn some things that Moses has learned. So that's what we've learned about God in this season. I want to tell you some things we learned about Moses. Ready? One thing I learned is Moses is tough. Like, he's really tough. He killed an Egyptian with bare hands. Tough. I'm not saying righteous. I'm saying this time he was tough. And then he crossed the desert all by himself. Right? He's pretty tough. Pre-God, he did all those things. He was a thug. You know? Some of us can relate. Don't raise your hand, Andrew. We know. Mo has been obedient. We know that. As obedient as he can be. He's not perfect. But ever since God, he's tried to do whatever God said to do. We learn that he's a reluctant leader. At times, he doesn't like it. And he fusses about it. We learn that he's a family guy. He's got kids and a wife. We learn he's the kind of guy who builds altars of remembrances so deeply into his life, the core of who he is, that he names his kids and places he goes. Every time God does something in his life, he has to mark it and remember it because he doesn't want to forget it. Isn't that amazing why God loves him so much? Right. Exodus 18, 5 through 7. This is a common phrase you're going to hear in this chapter. Then Jethro, his father-in-law, say father-in-law, came with Moses' sons and his wife to join Moses in the wilderness where they was camped. Camped at the mountain of God, that is Mount Sinai. He sent a message to Moses. Check it out. He sent a message. It says, I, your father-in-law, Jethro. How many of you call your kids and go, ha-ha, I, your father, Sean, have called you, Pastor Justin, this morning? You know, I don't send my title out to him. He'd probably go, are you okay, Dad? Did you in the sun too long? Are you all right? Do we need to call 911? I, your father-in-law, well, father-in-law, like I said, is a deserving respect title in their culture. And Jethro happens to be actually a proven authority in Big Mo's life. Someone who has been there and he's given direction to Moses time and time again. Not perfect. Father-in-laws aren't perfect. I know them because I'm one. But they gave good advice to Moses to the point where Moses like, all right, I can trust this guy. Leaders got to have those people. This happens to be his father-in-law and it's proven trust. The problem we have sometimes is we want to be that guy without having it proven in our life. This guy's proven, okay? I, your father-in-law, Jethro, this respected guy, he comes from a place called Midian. You know what Midian means? Strife. So here's a guy who's a chief in the land of strife. He knows what it's like to lead in strife. He lives in strife, and he fights through strife, and he is there in strife. And Moses learns something from his father-in-law, because why Moses is going to have to learn how to lead in strife. And the strife, has ever been in strife? Strife is like really tough sledding. Like, I can't do this job one more day. If I go back one more day, you better look for me in the paper. I'm in strife. I can't take it anymore. I can't. I'm at my breaking point, the land of strife. Ever been in the land of strife? Isn't it great to have someone who's been through the land of strife to go, hey, how'd you get through the land of strife? How did you get through that horrible experience? It's good to have people. Moses's people is Jethro. He says, I'm coming to you with your wife and your two sons with her. So check this out. Moses went out to meet his father-in-law. Listen, Moses is a big deal. He's leading the land of Israel out, right? Signs and wonders. He's carrying the staff, splitting Red Sea, right? Got locust, crazy stuff, in, right? Bread on the ground, water out of rocks. But Moses personally went out to meet Jethro, his father-in-law, and this, he said he bowed down in respect. Say respect. You got to have someone in your life who's proven it, not because they're hot shots, not because they're well-educated, but they've proven, they've walked through at least that land of strife. And Moses had that guy. He said he kissed him. A little overboard for me, you're just going to get a hug at the door. And that's not happening. They asked each other about their well-being and went into the tent. Isn't that sweet? How you doing, bro? How you doing? How you been? I missed you. Come on. That's at least how I saw it. I don't know. Say love and respect. Exodus 18, 8 through 12. Moses told his father-in-law about all the Lord had done to Pharaoh and the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and about all the hardship that had happened during their journey and how the Lord had rescued them. Jethro rejoiced over all the good things the Lord had done to Israel in that he rescued them from the hand of the Egyptians. Have you ever been rescued from anything? I mean, like, how am I getting out of this? Like, I deserve all this. I brought this on me. Like, I don't know how I'm explaining. Go, Doctor, how do you get home in that blue spot on the rug? I can't blame that on the dog because he didn't get the pickles out. How am I getting out of this? That spot's me. Ever do something and you know that spot's mine? And all of a sudden something crazy comes along. You get rescued. You're like, whoo, there is. Lord, you love me so much that you rescued me from that, right? Ever not have your homework done in school? And it's the one day she didn't ask for it. You're like, yes, Jesse. He's like, Pastor, my parents are here. Just keep moving, you know. The old things run deep. It says Jethro rejoiced over it. Have you done what you need to do to never forget the thing that you said you'd always be grateful for? Have you done what you should do to be grateful again for the thing you said you'd always be grateful for, but you forgot? Is there any place God's asking you to build an altar in your life, to do something in your life to go, I'm not going to forget that again? Every time I get to my lowest point, I have to look at some of my altars in the past. I have to be honest. I could be like, oh, God, what do you do? This is happening. How are we? Dolores is in the hospital with a blood clot again after an accident. We got to build a bubble around her. Right? How are we going to? A blood clot's serious. Have you prayed? Not yet. I'm complaining. Well, Joe didn't put out on Facebook, complain, everyone. He said, pray. Anybody get that on Facebook? You don't have to. But we prayed. And then God, well, there's no blood clot. They called us and come in, you got a blood clot. By the time she got there, there wasn't a blood clot. You know, God, don't forget that. I'm not saying get tattooed blood clot, Bob, across your forearm. I'm just saying. We have to remember the things that we get so worked up about that God has come through and we forget because we go from crisis to crisis. Right? If we forget, to celebrate and really be thankful. We just kind of buzz from thing to thing, right? Look, it's like driving on the Highway 6. I got to find a piece. Where's a pocket of peace? Here's the people not going 85. There's the people going 62. I'm right here in my space. Until someone gets in my space and I got to get out of it again, right? Jethro said, blessed be the Lord who has rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of Pharaoh. He is who has rescued the people. Say, God freed the people. Say, I am. I'm the people. He rescued them from the hand of the Egyptians. And I love this. This he says, now I know. Jethro's like, now I know for sure. I have a choice to admit something in front of everybody. He's like, Moses, you know, you're in Egypt. You're like, yeah, I'm going to get, he said, to talk to you in a burning bush. Sure he did. What's going on? You got out of Egypt. All these things. So here he is. He says this, I know. I personally have to acknowledge there's only one Lord. That's where we all have to get to. We start reasoning things away, and then he comes down. He brings us to those places in our life we have to go, okay, I've been in those places. If there's only one Lord, I got it. I got that lesson. Anybody ever been there? I got that lesson. How many had to learn that lesson more than once? How many had to learn that lesson more than twice? Say, oh, them, right? I know the Lord is greater than all gods. Indeed, it was proven when they acted insolently toward Israel. Say, respect God, respect his leader, respect his people, right? The Lord showed himself infinitely superior to all their gods. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering of sacrifice to offer the Lord. Then Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat a meal with Moses' father-in-law before God. Say, respect. Here's the thing about respect. Respect is a big lesson when it comes to the Lord, but here's the bonus thought in this passage. Sometimes it's okay to take time to celebrate. We don't do that. We don't celebrate victories. We're supposed to do that a little more. I mean, God brought you through something. Hoorah! Thank you for that. I'm glad baby Noah's around. They're not here today because baby Noah's resting. But for that 30 seconds of heavy labor, I was in stress. Hoorah. Celebrate that baby, right? Celebrate that promotion. Celebrate that marriage. Celebrate that. Celebrate. If God has done something, what better way to celebrate, right? Ask me, there's people that do birthdays so hard, I never understood it before. Like, I need to celebrate it. Jasmine, I'm not looking at you. Kirsten, I get that some people just do birthdays hard. Why? Because it's to be celebrated. It should be, you know? It says, they all took a moment to reflect and celebrate together, to celebrate God's what he's been doing. This side, point over that side. Say, you could do better at celebrating. Point back at these guys. Say, you could. Yeah, you guys got terrible putting attitude out. You're just not a good attitude, church. Man, back home, that would have been a gang war, you know? Exodus 18:13. Now the next day, Moses sat to judge the disputes that the people had with one another. How many know when you get a people together, occasionally there are disputes? Anyone? Yeah, occasionally. And the people stood around Moses from dawn to dusk. Say, eh. Ah, it sounds terrible. Joseph's response in emojis. This is how I read this. These are the tones when Jethro responds to Moses. These are the tones I saw. So I want you to think of these emoji faces when I read the next part, okay? Because this is how I heard it. And I don't know if I could be sassy enough, so I'm going to do my best. This is the response. Exodus 18:14-17. When Moses' father-in-law, say respect, saw that he, Moses, was doing for the people, he said, what is this that you're doing for the people? Like, what is this? That's how I heard it. Why did I hear it that way? I'll continue. Why are you sitting alone as judge with all the people standing around you from dawn till dusk? My paraphrase is, wow, man, that's crazy. You know, Jethro said, wow, this is how you do it? That's crazy. Look, man, Moses said to his father-in-law, because the people come to me to ask about the will of God, and they have a dispute, they come to me. Come to me to judge between man and his neighbor, and I make known them the statutes of God and his laws. Facts for today, God has specific laws and stats. We can find that out for ourselves. Some of our disputes that we have with God and each other, we can actually find that out for ourselves, right? Moses' father-in-law said to him, the thing that you are doing is not good. I mean, he walks into camp. He's like, I missed you. How you doing? I got your wife and kids. What are we doing tomorrow? I can't catch breakfast. No, we can't hit Starbucks. No. I mean, seriously, just drive right through gravity. No. No Black Rock, nothing. No, I'm judging the people from dawn to dusk. He's like, that's crazy. That's not good. That's Pastor Sean paraphrase. That sounds terrible. And honestly, and Moses could have had an attitude. He could have said, take off, hoser. Who are you? Like he's a Canadian, you know. I'm a good leader. I mean, you come in here and tell me, I got them from Egypt to where we are now. You don't know how hard that was. And yeah, you're the priest of Midian, but Midian is not all Israel. Who are you really? I know you're my father-in-law, respect. You know, we'll have some dinner, but who are you to tell me? Media is a small gig compared to what I've been asked to do for God. I know a lot of leaders that do that. It's usually the downfall of that leader if they don't have somebody in their life that's proven that spot. A lot of people want that spot. But Jethro has proven that spot. You know, you got to have sometimes as a leader, honestly, you got to have someone you trust that's a leader to tell you to scale back because you usually won't. I have to tell every one of the people on my staff to have to take vacation. And they're volunteers. I can't wait. Don't go. What are you going to do without a drummer? We're going to do like this. That's what we're going to do without a drummer. What are we going to do without singers? We're all just going to sing. What if the whole worship team's on vacation? We got videos. What if the videos broke down? A cappella. It's fine. God's not going to be like, I'm not even going to take their worship today. Why? Because there's not a guitar involved. Right? It's crazy. Exodus 18, 17. Moses' father-in-law said to him, "The thing that you are doing is not good." Say, no bueno. "You will certainly wear out. You will certainly wear out both yourself and these people who are with you, because the task is too heavy for you to bear." The task is too heavy for you to bear. You cannot do it alone. Anybody? Anybody? Does that sit a little different? Maybe things that are in your life, you feel that, like, I'm going to do it. I don't need nobody. You got to have Jethro speak to you sometimes and say, hey, you can't do that alone. That's heavy. You need help with that. Okay? He says, "Now listen to me, and I'll advise you, and may God be with you to confirm my advice." Always wait for that. No matter what kind of advice you get, no matter what, we are five-star professional counselors, get paid well for it, and you come to us, and you're paying your money for advice, and I give it to you, I still ask that you go home and pray and ask God to make sure that God's saying that to you. Every time you get advice, get confirmation from God. And Jethro's like, "Hey, I got something for you, but when I break it down, what I want you to do is take it to the Lord, okay? This is an idea I think is killer good, but let God confirm it, okay? Now listen to me and I'll advise you. May God be with you to confirm my advice." Wise people, check. "You shall represent the people before God, and you shall bring their disputes and causes to him. You shall teach them the decrees and laws." Bing! What? Teach them? Yeah, like, dude, teach them the laws and the decrees so they can figure that out. Teach them, because they got to start learning on their own anyways. At some point in time, we got to move on and grow up. I'm a real boy. Not yet. Right? We got to grow up sometimes, and that means I got to start putting some of these things in my life and making them work for me, because God said it's time for me to move on, and it's time to do it. He says, "You shall show them the way." You shall show them the way they are to live. Oh, I had a hard time with that. That was my first resistance to Christianity. Though I say, well, you were raised in a denomination, yeah, but I wasn't a disciple of Jesus Christ. I was more on the Lucifer side of the brand. Went to church because they made me. And it was cool. I got out of class sometimes for it. But to call me a Christian was a lie. I wasn't living like Christ was my Lord. And then when I began to realize that there's actually a way that I'm supposed to live, and sometimes that's contrary to the way that I want to live. We're doing baptism today, so if you're a candidate, that's like where you're at sometimes. If you're going to come to Jesus, we have to know, I'm dying to how I want to do stuff, and I'm going to let him make my decisions for me. That's not a popular gospel in today's society. It's, you do you, God will bless it. No, do it God's way, and he'll bless it. "You shall show them the way they are to live and what they are to do." You guys point over here. Say, "God, tell them what to do." Point over here and say, "Don't you guys tell me what to do." They got an attitude, that side. Yeah. Exodus 18, 21. "Furthermore, you shall select from all the people competent men." Say, competent men. And this is where I'm sinking in. This is where I'm sinking in today. Say, competent men. Competent men. Select competent men. Select competent men. Now, this is not a chauvinistic presentation today. I got just as many female pastors on my staff as I do male pastors, and that's a fact. But there comes a season where God speaks to men and say, it's time for you to step up and lead spiritually, emotionally, and physically. There comes a time when you have to lead if you're a man, and God calls you that. You don't got to be the leader. You got to get up and lead sometimes. And the problem is there's so many guys that want to do that, but they don't want to go through the process what it takes to become competent. I went to Bible school. They don't make you competent. That makes you educated. Well, I know this and I know that. That makes you great at Trivial Pursuit. Competency is something that you see worked out in their life over and over again so it can be proven. God's trying to do that again. He's looking at the church and say, I'm looking for competent men. Select for me competent men. Man, and you, the guys we got here, they've been growing. I can say it because no one needs to feel guilty here because you guys, I'm just saying. Men who reverently fear the Lord, say respect. Men who reverently fear the Lord. Men of truth. Men of truth. Those who hate dishonest gain. So ask yourself, really, are you on a stage that he's trying to get you more competent in? Seriously. Do you feel during this season that you've been kind of pressed by God to go, I need you more competent in this area? No. Like Miley's the missionary. That's why we're sending her. She's the one that tells people about Jesus. That's Miley's job and Pastor Jody's job. Right? He said, no, I'm trying to get you competent. I want you to know me confidently. I want you to have a relationship with me. And I want you to be confident so I can send you to Walmart because Pastor Sean's grumpy there and he does never obey me. So I need to send someone who I can take it. Okay. Are we letting God change us to be the people that both God and Moses can use? Usable. Like, but you know how Moses got his job? As leader, it says this. God says this of Moses. This is how you get into the door of great leadership. You ready? It says Moses was the meekest man in all the earth. It starts with humility, but nobody ever wants to go there. Most leaders I know are dragged into leadership, and once they're there, they lead. The guys that run forward to leadership, Pastor Larry, how do we handle that? We laugh a little bit, sure. Furthermore, you shall select from all the people competent men, men who reverently fear the Lord, men of truth, those who hate dishonest gain, and you shall place these, say these, that kind of leader, place those kind of guys over the people as leaders. Leaders of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. Oh, wow, God uses people in stages and structures, doesn't he? Stages and structures. That's how God does stuff. They shall judge the people at all times. Have them bring every major dispute to you, but let them judge every minor dispute themselves. I love this. So it'll be easier for you. I highlighted that in my Bible. It'll be easier for me. Write that one down, God. Say it again. It'll be easier for me. Love easier for me, you know? It'll be easier for you, and they will bear the burden with you. Say help. Competent men give real help. That's why, honestly, the church started growing really fast. And I realized the competent people of God, not perfect, the competent people of God that have been coming in and connecting with God here. And I really, we got nervous because I go, no, where are we going to put everybody? And how can I possibly, it's summer and almost all the chairs are full. What's going to happen in the winter? And I start going, how am I going to handle that? Don't I? My leaders, how am I going to handle that with my schedule? How am I going to do that? God said, I'm raising up competent men. I'm raising up women of God who can take on some responsibility and take over some things and run some things. I'm taking on, there's, you know, some of those disputes, like, you know, they can do. You're going to teach the word of God and they're going to figure it out for themselves. And then if they're like, I can't do that. And pastor has the stupid job he has until June. Oh, Ed can answer those questions. Honestly, I got Bible school students. He looks awful humble, but ask this guy. He knows some things. Just pretends he doesn't. Ask these guys some things. They've been around. They've been through the land of strife. Right? Nick, been through the land of strife? Yeah. He's one of those quiet, all-knowledgeable kind of fellows. And God said the reason the church needs to grow is because I got competent men that can show them the way. Man. I'm so grateful for Ed in my life because without Ed in my life, I'd never have really Jeff in my life. Because in a season when I was just stretched 1,000 places, I couldn't be at New Beginnings. I didn't get to know Jeff super well, but you know who did? Ed. And now I know Jeff real well, but I didn't have the time to add, and Ed put it in. And so I look at that as a pastor and go, thank you. Thanks for being competent. I appreciate you. You know, I don't say those things out loud enough, so I thought I'd say them. Yeah. Be easier for you and to help bear burdens with you if you will do this thing God so commanded you. Then you will be able to endure the responsibility. And all these people will also go home to their tents and rest. Love that. When structure's good and organization is good and there's people helping and there's not one person always doing it, there's more peace, right? There's more peace. It happens that way. So he listened to advice. And he was God's guy. And he had a proven, excellent leader. And Jethro had his respect. And he said, if you don't do this, you're going to burn out, Moses. And you're going to burn the people out. Timely change is the best change. You know how many people change their diet after their first heart attack? You know how many people were told to change their diet for first heart attack? Make changes before you're burned out, right? I have a Benny Franklin quote. You ready? An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. An ounce of prevention worth a pound of cure means you need to try to not let it happen. Fix it before it's a problem, you know? Exodus 18:24. I'm doing good. So Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. Say respect. It says in Proverbs, the wise walk with the wise, right? So it's good to learn from God's proven wise guys. You know, God's proven wise guys. It's good to go grab some information, you know? It's good to go tackle somebody and say, hey, I noticed you're really good at this. When I first got married, I was terrified. A, I'd never been married before. B, I was like just 21. Barely, you know, I thought I was all that in a bag of chips. I was just all that, no bag of chips. And so I'm like, hey, I got a great girl. God gave her to me. And I want to do a great job of being a husband. So I went around the church for like months and just scoped out marriages. They didn't know I was doing it. Oh, I see that. Oh, I like that. That's very sweet. She seems to like you a lot. What do you do that makes her like you a lot? I want to do that too. And I would go to some of the guys and meet with them that were, I thought, good husbands and let them tell me things. And let them say things to me because it mattered to me. And I found guys I thought, man, they're doing a pretty decent job as being a father and I don't ever had a kid before and he's got a lot of energy and I'm not an energy guy and he's bouncing around. So I go, hey, how did you do that? Oh, dude, we got to have people in our lives we're a little vulnerable to and let God use them to speak into our life a little more. And this is that season for the church. I think he's trying to get us to all go to another stage and another level, right? Break through some past things that we haven't been able to get past and finally break through those things and get into some of the promises that God has set before us. And there are people that have been on that land of strife before us that can help us go, I'll show you how to get that promise. I have that promise in my life and I'm going to help you get to that promise. Because I'm following Pastor Sharon because she got this promise and I'm trying to get that promise and she's trying to show me what God did in her life. That's how the church grows. That's how the church grows, right? Exodus 18:25-27. Moses chose able men. Moses chose able men from all Israel and made them heads over the people, leaders of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. And they judged the people at all times. And they would bring the difficult cases to Moses, but every minor one they judged and decided themselves. Then Moses said goodbye to his father-in-law, and Jethro went back to Midian. Competent and able men. That's a whole big topic, isn't it? We may do a swim conference this year. It's our, how many years? 20 years anniversary. And SWIM stands for Spirit, Word, and Mentors. And I had mentors in my life, guys that I would say about, hey, how do you become a better father, or how do you become a good husband, or right? And I had mentors in my life, and I had a lot of guys. Bishop Pierce was so busy back in the day. He was like worship leader, and he was the preacher, and he was the counselor. He was everything. So I found guys, like, they weren't reverend. They have reverence for their name now, but there wasn't Reverend Ken Brooks. It was just Kenny, who I played basketball with. on Tuesday nights in the hood, and I would ask him questions about being a Christian and being a husband. I want guys like that to come out and speak maybe at the convention if I can get them out here. Guys like John Lashilangi. How do you serve God with your whole heart and your family? Reverend Jim Stearns. Some of those guys were so key to me because Bishop said, yeah, those are able guys. Not perfect guys, able guys. You know? In a setup, like there was a bunch of guys with me. I want to talk with Bishop Pierce, and they're fussing. I don't want to go talk to Ken Brooks. I don't play. You're missing out. And God is during this season, he's put a lot of able people around you. And honestly, he's put able in you. Some of you think he's talking about somebody else. And I'm not. I'm not talking about somebody else. I mean, there's ableness that he's putting in you this year. There are people. If this wasn't home, I would prophesy to you. Maybe to Hannah. There are people. Because of what he's doing in you, I know our temperaments are similar and you hate this. So I'm doing this so you don't forget it. I'm building an altar. I'm going to name it A Moment with Hannah. No one else is here, so I guess we're doing this. But he's bringing you people, and he's bringing you two people to show them what God can do. And you're the perfect vessel for that, and he's making you able. That's the season of making you able, sugar. I see ableness coming on through you, and I'm proud of you. You know, but that's not isolated to Hannah. I could go around the room and I'll look at all your little souls and say, God, this is your season. He's making you able. And if you don't feel able, find someone around you that you think is able and get some time with them. Because that's how the church is going to grow. Not numbers. Say, I am the church. I am the church, right? So able and solid and competent. And so with that being said, we're working on both during this season. So the people are now out of Egypt. So my questions before baptism are this. Have you come out of your Egypt yet? Like, have you come out of your Egypt? Are you ready to move on? Like, some of us have been stuck in something for so long. You're like, how do we even move on from it? Like, you don't even know. Like, and so God in a moment can move you on. Maybe today's your chance. Like, this is my move on day. And I feel it in my bones. I feel it. Don't look at me right now, Pastor. Maybe it's your time. Egypt's time to get out of Egypt. Maybe you begin your journey trusting God with everything, but now it's hard to trust Him with anything. I know I gotta say that again. Maybe you were with a God and you trusted Him for everything, and that's where you were. But now it's hard to trust Him with anything because it seems like He's not doing what I'd like Him to do. Maybe you're on a journey and God's working on you not to be a complainer because your first thing is to fuss out loud, to fuss to a leader, to fuss to an able person, and God's trying to get, I need you to get more face time with me and come to me for your solutions and get into the word that I've given you for solutions and stop fussing. Maybe. Are we learning to move on in stages? You know, Pastor Sean has to start the stage of getting back into the garage, or Pastor Sean's not going to get back in shape. It starts with lifting a weight and not eating a third sandwich. There's stages to that, apparently, Andrew, of losing, you know, stages. Praise Him. They're trying to move past stuff, and I really want you to ask yourself, am I moving past stuff too? Am I listening to people with godly counsel around me? Because usually, if you're in the midst of assignment and something's going wrong, it's shocking if God hasn't sent you a few people already trying to tell you some things and you just kind of brushed them off. That can't be God. That was just the clerk at McDonald's. That can't be God. That was just, what do they know? They don't know. They're just from Midian. Just saying. Maybe the hard part is God has been commanding us and showing us his ways. And that's hard to swallow. But, see, I am the church now. I am under his banner. I'm under his banner. I am his people now. You are his people now. And you're being enabled during this season like no place else, no other time in history, in your lives. If you come to this place of such a time as this, that God's enabling you to go out and be the church that you've never been before. I believe signs and wonders are coming back to the church. Why? Because people are going to find him again and really have real relationships with him, not try to sell it on television. Not try to build, not saying everyone does it, not try to build some giant so-and-so or my name recognition or my brand or my hashtag or my QR code. None of that. Just, I found God and he did this for me. You want to meet God and I think he'll do this for you. And you'll see miracles come out of those moments. More than someone shouting from you at stage. So if you are the church and you want to participate in baptism, we welcome you to come stay with us. If you want to afterwards, we baptize out there and cheer on some of these new folks. They're getting baptized. I'm going to go over. I heard I have a meeting. If you want to be baptized, I go to my office for this meeting. Yes. Okay. I wasn't sure. I hope I may have locked the door. I'm prone to lock doors all the time. I'm compulsive about that kind of stuff. So check me. But maybe you came today and you're like, you know, Pastor, that's me. I know I not only need to be forgiven for some things and not taking that to God, but I know I'm supposed to be living completely different. And I'm supposed to be living under his banner. And I know he's saying that to me. And I'd like to actually dedicate my life today and be baptized today to make that statement. So then maybe that's you. And if you haven't signed up, that's okay. You can meet with me in the office. If you just have questions, like, I don't know if that's me, but I might want to be me, you can meet me in the office. I'm so proud of what New Season is because I'm proud of you guys. I've never seen a church more beautiful in my whole life. I've been around. And people ask me to speak all the time. You know what I tell them? I said, I don't like to be gone from here. I love to be here with you all. It's a choice. I choose you because God chose you. So if you want to be part of people's choice and them choosing God today, please join us outside for baptism. I release you, if you can't, to go home and enjoy your family. And Father, I pray for those souls that are supposed to be, have decided to be disciples today and follow you in your way. I pray you give them extra courage, Father, and they feel extra support today. In Jesus' name, amen.